Psalm 78, verse number 40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned their back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. For they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. This psalmist says that the condition that the children of Israel was in led them to the place that they actually limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, we're talking about a God that doesn't have any limits. He has no limitations. There's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing beyond his reach. Amen. That's the God that we serve. How is it possible that a people could limit him? Well, we all know that the Lord has chosen to work his mighty hand through the instrument of men and women like you and me. Us. That's the way he works. That's the way he moves, through people. Amen. Scripture talks about as your faith is, so it be unto you, or according to your faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. That by your faith, great supernatural, wonderful things can take place in your life and through your life. But it can be limited. And it kind of gives a little description of some of the things that were going on among the children of Israel that limited the Holy One. Amen. It just means that they did things that diminished the effectiveness and the power of God among their people. They did things that literally stopped the flow and the blessing of the Lord. As incredible as that might sound, but we know that when Jesus went to Nazareth, he did no miracles there in his hometown of Nazareth. Because of the hometown, folks, it says because of their unbelief. Their unbelief hindered and stopped the miraculous, the powerful. So that tells me that we bear some responsibility as the people of God. It is possible that you or I, we could limit God. Since God has chosen to work through people like you and me, then we need to understand that we could take some certain steps of action. We could have attitudes and a faithlessness that could hinder and even stop the things that God is wanting to do. That's just pretty amazing to me. The God that can do anything, the God that has all power, that created everything. I mean, everything that exists, he just spoke it into existence. Just by the word of his mouth, everything was created. And yet, he has determined that his mighty works primarily is going to flow through a human vessel. It's going to flow through a channel like you and me. And if we are not what God wants us to be, we could hinder the move of God. We could limit the Holy One of Israel. That's what it says that they did. They literally diminished the power of God. This God that is unlimited. This God is all powerful. We know the words that kind of describe his nature. And some of the attributes of our Lord start with the word omni. Omni. Omnipresent. Omnipotent. You know those words that describe the nature and the character of our Lord. He's omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. And those words all describe the nature of our God. The word omni just literally means without limits. All. Everything. Without any limitations. That's the God that we serve, who can do wonderful and mighty things. And his nature, his attributes are, he is omnipresent, he's everywhere present, he is omniscient, he knows everything. There's nothing hid from his knowledge. He is omnipotent, he has all power. And even with all of these amazing attributes of our Lord, God has limited his working primarily in our world through the church, through the people of God. And whenever we are not what God wants us to be, then we limit what God can do. I don't want to make that mistake. I don't want to be the problem that's stopping the flow of the presence of God and the move of God. I want to be a clear, open channel that can be used of the Lord when he chooses to use me or chooses to use you or use anyone here for that matter, young people and children. And every one of us, when he wants to use us, he's looking for someone that's usable, a vessel. That's a prepared vessel, a vessel that's a ready vessel, purged, cleansed, purified, available to the Lord so that we can be used of the Lord. Amen. Numbers 23 and 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. God is not limited. God's not like mankind with all the weaknesses and the frailties and the failures that we have. God's not that. He's not that way at all. He is a God of all these wonderful and mighty powers and abilities. And we're talking about signs and miracles and wonders and how that we pray that God would flow through us and would accomplish what he's wanting to accomplish by the power of his Spirit. But we need to remember that he is without limitation except the limitations that we might impose upon him by our failures and our shortcomings and our... Now, you may not believe this, but I'm just giving you some scriptures that show what the children of Israel did there in verse 40. It says, how oft did they provoke him? How oft did they provoke him? The word there, it means provoked. It means vexed him. And they did it by going their own way. They did that by following their own direction. Remember, they were in the wilderness, but they wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They were craving the onions and the garlic of Egypt. They wanted to go back. And the Lord was vexed by them because he was the deliverer who had brought them out. And he was the same deliverer that was going to take them through the passage of the wilderness and lead them into the promised land. All these things were available to the children of Israel, but they provoked him. They vexed him. And they did that because they were just kind of independent and they wanted to go their own way and do it their way. But we have to be reminded that without him, we're going to fail for sure. Without him, we're not going to be able to accomplish what God wants us to be able to accomplish. You know, the very next breath that you take right now, you don't take it because you have because you will to breathe. You take that breath because God, in his mercy and goodness, has given you your next breath and your next breath and your next breath. It is because God has been merciful to you. Without the Lord, you're nothing. And we vex and we provoke the Holy Spirit whenever we are independent. We have that kind of a spirit, independent. Oh, I can make it. I can do it. I don't need God. I don't need him to help me. I can use my own natural abilities or talents. I'm okay. And we're independent of God. We make a big, big mistake when we do that. We need the help of the Lord in every area of our life. It doesn't matter how much education or how much talent or all the wonderful qualifications that you might have. Above all, you need the Lord. You need the Spirit of God upon your life. You need his help. And our natural ability is not enough. Your natural talent, it's not enough. You need God. You need the blessing of the Lord. They limited God because they were independent of God. And they vexed him. They vexed them. They provoked the Lord because they thought we can do this on our own. Now that how that translates into the body of Christ and into the to our church and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is we go right along thinking that we can do it without God. So we pray limitedly. We fast hardly ever. We do things on our own terms. I can do this. I'll do this as I want to do it. And not as anyone is going to tell me how to live out my life. I'm just going to be independent and do my own thing. You're going to vex the Spirit of God when you do that. Because God wants you to be open and willing and needy. Needing Him. Needing the Lord. Crying out to God for help in every situation that you might face. It says, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert? It's really almost one and the same, the provoking and the grieving of the Lord in the wilderness. But it's kind of interesting because the word, the Hebrew word there for grieve is a word that means to carve or fashion or fabricate. It's like your own plans, your own way, your own devices, what you create, what you make, instead of trusting in the Lord. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God when we set aside the plan of God, the Word of God, and we carve out our own way of doing things. We plan it our way. We fabricate our own ideas about working for God or serving God or being faithful to the Lord. It says they grieved him. They grieved him. And you know, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit that wants to work in your life and wants to move through you. But if you've got your own self-made plans, and you've got it all laid out and all, you know, everything is just, you know, carved and fashioned according to your ideas and your plan, then you're not going to be a vessel that's really going to be readily available to be used by God. You have to be willing to say, okay, Lord, here I am. And I just put myself out here, Lord, before you. I want to do your will. I want to do what you want me to do. We grieve the Holy Spirit whenever we make our own plans and we limit the Holy One. Whenever we are thinking we can do it in our own strength and our own power. But again, we have to be reminded of the fact that without him, we're nothing. We're nothing. We're nothing. We are nothing and we have nothing. Unless we make ourselves available to the Lord. We are nothing and we can't do anything that's really going to please the Lord. Our best laid plans are really nothing to God. Your plans. You don't just get all your plans in order and say, Lord, please bless my plans. No, you grieve the Holy Spirit whenever you don't allow him to direct your steps and to work in your life. They provoked him. They vexed him. They grieved him, it says. Yea, they turned back. You know, most people that look back will eventually go back. And that's what it's saying they did. They turned back. Looking back to Egypt, looking back to their captivity, looking back to those things, they turn their back. You limit God whenever you allow your affection and your attention to be turned back to the ways of sin in the world. Turn back to the world. When you allow your heart to be set upon the things of this world. You want to be usable to God, then you be nothing. You just be nothing and present yourself to the Lord. Here I am, Lord. I am nothing. I have nothing, but you just take me as I am. And you would be amazed at what God can make out of nothing. Amen. As a matter of fact, all of creation. He spoke it into existence and it came to pass just by the word of his mouth. Amen. He didn't take something and create something else out of it. No, he created it out of nothing. When you become nothing before the Lord, then you really become usable. You become usable. You become something that God can use. But the mistake that they made was They look back and then they turn back to go back to Egypt, to set their heart and their affection on Egypt. You can never really enter into the promised land of the blessing that God has for you if your eyes are always set on the world, the love for the world, the love for the world. We think like the world. Your spirit is after the things of the world. You have a mindset after the world. What a terrible mistake to try to mimic the world or be like the world. No, we are to be new creations. We're to be changed. We're to be different. We are not of this world. We're of another world now that we are born again of the Spirit of God. Don't turn back and don't fashion yourself after the things and the affections of this world. Your actions, your talk, don't associate with the things of this world. It'll just pull you back. And it grieved and it limited the Holy One of Israel because their heart turned back to Egypt. And you're going to limit what God can do in your life. You're going to limit what God's plan can be and could be with your life. Because you just allow the spirit of the age to control your life and your decisions and your affections and everything. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Don't limit God. But realize you can be a vessel that God can use to do things far greater than you could ever imagine. Amen. God can use you. God can use everyone in this building here tonight for amazing and wonderful things if we'll make ourselves available to the Lord. And don't look back. Don't make the mistake of setting your affections on the things of this world. Let me tell you, the world disappoints. The world has all this bright lights and, you know, all of this glamour and everything. Oh, but it disappoints. The world disappoints. Set your affection upon the things of the Lord. Don't turn back, but instead set your affection upon the things of the Lord. It says they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They stopped what God was doing. Is it possible that we could right here in this church, God has plans and a design and a work that he wants to do at this location in our lives, in our church, in every individual family. God has some wonderful things he wants to do to demonstrate his mighty power in us and through our lives. Please don't limit God. Don't limit God. I don't want to limit what God can do in my life. I don't want to limit to what he can do in our church. Make yourself available and usable to the Lord. It says, verse 42, they remembered not his hand. They remembered not his hand. How quickly we forget. How quickly we forget what God has done for us. Something about turning away from the voice of the Lord and from what God is trying to do in your life. It doesn't take long for you to forget all the wonderful works of God. All the times he's spoken to your heart. All the wonderful ways he has worked supernaturally in you, blessing you, filling you with the Spirit of God, and then anointing you for the task. It says they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. You know, we have really in the church today, we have two groups of people. We have those that are of one generation that are older, and you have personally witnessed supernatural acts of God. You have witnessed, and we hear testimonies of those from time to time. You have witnessed God touching the lives of people. You have seen his mighty hand at work. But it's been a while. And you're pretty forgetful about it. You don't really remember all of the things he's done. And then we have another group, another younger generation. Some of them don't really even have a frame of reference because they've not seen it. They've not seen miracles of healing. They've not witnessed the mighty hand of God, supernatural working of God's power and spirit. So the older generation that have experienced it, you need to remember it. Don't forget it. And you need to even relate it to the younger generation and spark in their hearts a hunger and a desire to see the mighty works of God. Amen. Remember it and relate it to the younger generation. And the younger generation needs to cry out to God, asking the Lord, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see your power. Like other generations have witnessed you working and moving in the lives of people, I want to see that. My prayer is that this group right here of young folks over here, that they will, in their youth, witness a real revival. That they'll witness a real move of God, a real revival, where people are coming into the kingdom of God and where lives are being changed and all kinds of wonderful supernatural acts are taking place. My prayer, oh God, that this young generation, these that are children and teens, that they will experience the mighty hand of God, a great revival, a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. Well, if we limit God, it's not going to happen. If we limit him, it's not going to happen. So let's make ourselves available to the Lord. What do you say? Let's make ourselves vessels of honor, ready to be used of the Lord, ready to be filled with the Spirit, ready to be used of God for whatever task or calling or ministry that he might lead you into. Be willing and ready to be used of the Lord, that there would be nothing that would hinder what God is wanting to do. Literally what happened was their expectation of a move of God, of God's unlimited power, their expectation of it was just gone. You see, God is unlimited. There's nothing beyond his power. Omni, it means literally without limits, without limits. So when you think that way, when you understand the promise of God and all the wonderful things that he wants to do, this verse gets quoted a lot. I do, and a lot of people read this verse from Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Now just consider that for a minute. That's just so big. That is so amazing. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That is so great and so big. But the last phrase of that verse says, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. We've got a responsibility to this move of God. You want to see the supernatural hand of God? You want to see him working, moving, pouring out his Spirit at First Pentecostal Church and in this community right here? You want to see that? Well, it's going to be according to the power of God as it work in your life. It's going to be according to how you make yourself a vessel that's available to the Lord. Don't be like the children of Israel that limited God, limited his power, that hindered the move of God through provoking him, through grieving him, through turning their backs away from him, from tempting him and not remembering the mighty works of God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't limit God, but believe God. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah.